Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads to pray. Our Father and our God, we come into your presence this morning by the blood of Lord Jesus. We confess our sins, so we're clean with the blood of Jesus Christ. We come under covering by your mercy and grace as we go into your word. Father, I strip myself of every confidence that I yet have in my own knowledge or ability to minister the word today. Lord, I duck under covering of self-spiritual fathers and ask for mercy. I ask for grace to them to preach, to teach, to minister effectively as an oracle of God. Let your word flow out of me like springs of living water, bringing refreshing to everyone here today and by listening through the internet in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I also pray for grace to redeem the time as you go into your word. Let your word come forth in power, in accuracy, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit to do an internal and eternal work in our hearts and our lives in the name of Jesus Christ, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to be further enlightened by the revelation knowledge of Christ's life, and our emotions to be further controlled by the power of the Spirit. Father, I thank you for that which you will do in our midst today. We come to give you all the praise and all the glory. Help me to redeem the time. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. So as we go into the word this morning, we are trusting God to help us. In our last lesson, we are in the book of 1 Timothy, and we spent quite some time in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1 verses 5 and 6 last time we spoke from this book. You know, so I'll just do a brief recap of what we spoke about before we move into what God will have us to share today. Praise the Lord. So let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, read verses 5 and 6, just to do a brief review of what we studied the last time we were in this book. Praise the Lord. Are we all there? Let's all settle down very quickly so we're not distracted. Praise the Lord. Now the scripture says that now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Let's read it again. The end of the commandment is charity. That word charity there is love, like we spoke about the other time. That word charity is love. Now the end of the commandment is charity, love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. And we defined what love is, the three D's, like Pastor taught us, the three D's of love. Because love is not emotional, it's not something that, you know, but it's not, it's first of all spiritual before it now transcends to something physical. Bible says that if I give my body to be burned and I have not love, it profit. Love is not giving out, even though love will give. The same Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The same scripture now says that, look, he's not going to give him the second time. That Jesus Christ is coming for a glorious church. He's not coming to die for the church again. Are you following me? So you can see the different aspects of love. So what is love? Like Pastor has taught us. Love, let's say it again. Love is desiring by divine compassion and doing by divine power what God will do in every situation. It is designing by wisdom, desiring by compassion, and also doing by divine power what God will do in every situation, including your thoughts, including the things you say, and then your actions. Recently, Mommy and Pastor have been emphasizing unto us about how to practice the love of God, that this love of God is the greatest. God wants us to make it our greatest quest in life. Are you following me? So it is designing, desiring, and also doing what God will do in every situation. Are you following me? So that is the love of God. And the scripture makes us to see here that love we are talking about is also, God put something there. It talks about a good conscience and what? Faith unfeigned. Let's say together, good conscience and faith unfeigned. You see, like we said earlier on, just to rush through, you know, Paul was telling them, he said, look, the end of this commandment, the reason why you got born again, is so that love of God must come out of a pure heart. Romans 5:5, we don't need to turn there. It's that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. You see, that divine wisdom, that divine power, and then that divine love, that compassion, and that divine power, God has put in every heart of every born-again Christian in seed form. So as you now grow, and then you now flush out the sin nature, that love can come out untainted by the sin nature. So we spoke about that. I gave the example about having a good conscience. I mentioned David when he caught the skirt of Saul. The Bible says that he had spot him. Are you following me? You see, it's not only, you see, if you are to act in the ordinary, like Jesus Christ, when they called him and told him that Lazarus was sick, you know, if we are to look at it, it will rush, you will have rushed to that place. But see, that is not divine love. It's not, wisdom would not have been there. He had to pray. So you see, God gives us that good conscience as a guide. It's like the needle on the compass, like I talked about the other time. And when you do something wrong, your heart will smite you. Let me give you an example. You see, if someone, you see two friends, and maybe someone says something bad about the other person that brings about unity, disunity, and you go and tell that person, even though you have said what is right, but what have you done? Bible says, he that repeated the matter separated best of friends. So you can say, he did this, so I'm going to go on. I'm not saying we don't report things. Don't get me wrong. But see, you need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So when you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, not everything you will say. Or let me put this way, you know when to say it. Or God saying, just pray for him. Because Bible says, he that repeated the matter separated best of friends. So love, you can see the different dimensions of love. It's not complicated. But like you see, if you don't pray and you don't walk with God, you're not able to get that divine wisdom. You're not able to get that divine compassion and then that power to do that which is right. Are you following me? So that conscience, Bible says that it can be good or it can also be bad. I don't want us to go there because of time. Paul said that herein do I exercise myself to have a conscience that is void of offense toward God and toward men. You see, each time the Holy Spirit nudges you and you disobey, you are beginning to, so that thing will affect your conscience. But you see, the good news is, I didn't mention it last time, the blood of Jesus Christ has been given to us to purge all our conscience, purge us from all dead works. Are you following me? So don't feel guilty. God said I should mention it. When you make a mistake, and like David, when he caught the hem of Saul's garment, he quickly repented. Are you following me? So that's why the blood is Bible, having therefore, boldness to enter the blood of Jesus Christ, in the presence of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. He said that blood will purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So they add the antidote to making sure that your conscience is always tender before God. And the last aspect you spoke about is faith unfeigned. You see, that means that genuine love. I see, for your love to be genuine, like we said the other time, it must be based, let's say together, it must be based on the word of God, in line with the will of God, and it must be motivated by the love of God. So you see, right there in your heart, God has put everything in seed form to be like him, because God is love. So if you will walk in love and you will exercise a good conscience all the time, but you miss it quickly, correct yourself. And then you will make sure that everything you do is motivated by love. You take the word of God, it's general. The will of God is particular. Then now use the love of God to let it be what is motivating you to act in what you are about to do. Praise the Lord. So that is what we spoke about last time. And that love of God, Bible says, has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We also took time. Paul said in verse 6, it says that, from which some having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. The Amplified says that they have missed the mark. See, if the end of the commandment is love, coming out of a pure heart, anything you do that is outside the love of God, you've turned aside to vain jangling. So you can use the love of God as a litmus test for every message you hear. What is the motivation behind this message I'm hearing? You see, and then you can also use to check yourself. But that is the whole essence of a Christianity, why we got born again. When you get born again, you now have to get rid of the sin nature that is in the heart, that is the soul and in the body. Or else, if you don't deal with it or subdue it and finally flush it out, it will always taint the love of God. I'll give an example before I move on. God said I should give the example by myself. When I first got born again years ago, 1991, someone called me and said I should go and pray for someone in UCH. The person was seriously ill and was about to die. So I went back to my room. I wasn't married, so I started praying. I was firing in the Holy Ghost, traveling, screaming and shouting, God, let me go there. Once I lay hands on him, let him stand up with him. I kept on praying, screaming. There's nothing wrong with that. That is love. God wants people to be healed. Are you following me? But you know what happened? God now spoke to me while I was praying in that room. many years ago. He said that, what if I tell you to just speak the word where you are, and that person will be healed and nobody will know? Immediately he said that, you know what happened? Well, like they took a needle and stuck it in my balloon. My groin just went down. Oh. I couldn't pray again. All the fervency left. You see, so you can see now, love must come out of a pure heart. I still went there. I witnessed him. I got him born again by the grace of God. But that's what I'm trying to say. See, oftentimes when those things happen, we don't know. And at times, God will just bypass it. That's what Paul said. That some preach Christ for out of a pure, out of love. Some preach Christ out of envy. Anyway, Christ is preached anyway. So you see, you need to use that love as a gauge in your heart, the good conscience and genuine faith. We shouldn't do things to be seen of men. Praise the Lord. So let's move on today. We're going to be reading from verses 7 to 8 for today. Praise the Lord. Verse 7. Now, Paul was talking about those teachers. He said, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Let me read again. Says that desiring, talking about these teachers, say desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm, but we know that the law is what? Good if a man use it lawfully. You see, there is nothing wrong in desiring to be a teacher. God wants all his children to be teachers at different levels. But it says there, I said these people, they desire to be teachers, but they don't understand what they are saying or what they are affirming. Here he's talking about the Judaizers, the Pharisees and the scribes, so to speak, who emphasized paying of tithes, circumcision, and all that. He said that, look, they desire to be teachers, but they don't understand what they are teaching. So you see, this does not mean that we should not desire to be teachers at different levels. You see, Bible says that if a man desires the post of a bishop, he desires a good thing. Same thing with a deacon. He said, but they must hold the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. You see, every born again Christian, by the time you get born again, in those days when you come to church, the first thing we are told to do is go and join the converts follow up. So you can begin to witness to people and tell them our Lord Jesus Christ. So you must know what happened to you when you got born again. So at that level, you are a teacher. But you see, you must also understand what happened to you. So you're not going to be teaching error. Praise the Lord. So this is what Paul was saying. So what then is the law? Or what law is he talking about? Here he's talking about the law of Moses. The Mosaic law. Let's say the law of Moses. And law of Moses can be divided into three parts. Let's say ceremonial law, moral law, and then the law of a spiritual law. Let's say again, ceremonial law, moral law, and spiritual law. Pastor has taught us, they kept spiritual law also in the Old Testament. That's why I told Joshua, he said, this book of law shall not depart from your mouth, you know, but shall meditate there day and night, you know. So they kept it. It wasn't only for us in New Testament. It's just that in New Testament, God now backed it with his power from within. Are you following me? So let's say it again, ceremonial law, moral law, and spiritual law. Ceremonial law, moral law, and ceremonial law speaks about all those diverse washings that God will tell them, you have to do this. If you do this, you have to wash three so and so times. You know, will tell them things like, you have to appear before me three times in a year. You know, Passover, Pentecost, and the tabernacles. You see, but you see, most those things that have been done away with. There's no one here that has gone to Israel three times in a year to observe the law of Passover, Pentecost, and tabernacles. We're no longer under that law, the ceremonial law. Now, the moral law has not been done away with. It's just that you cannot keep that moral law by your physical activities. It is not possible. The Ten Commandments, that's what you mean by moral law. The Bible says that thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not do this. That's why Jesus Christ, when he was preaching, he said something. He said, you have heard people say, now I say unto you, if you look at a woman lustfully, you have committed adultery on her. They couldn't understand. Because in the natural, you can be looking at somebody lusting in your heart, and then nobody will know. But as far as God is concerned, Bible says you have committed adultery. So outwardly, you have kept moral law. But spiritually, you have disobeyed that law. Did you get what I just said? So you see, we now take spiritual law to effectively keep moral law. So it takes spiritual law to keep moral law. And that moral law is summarized in one word. the love of God. That's the summary. Because if you love your neighbor, you will not go and commit adultery with your neighbor's wife. Are you following me? So that is what Jesus can say. So what is the purpose of the law? The purpose of the law is this. The law, the Bible says, was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Let's say it together. The law was given as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. If you're in a school, secondary school, your teacher has an assignment, is to make sure that you finish and you finish well. The teacher that is teaching you is not the end of the law. So it's a schoolmaster. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 and 25. Let us read. Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. Let's read. Wherefore, the law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that might be justified by faith. Let's read in Amplified. In Amplified, please. Amplified. Let's look at that. So that the law served to the Jews. We were talking to the Jews at that time. As our trainer, our guardian, our guide to Christ, to lead us until Christ came, that we might be justified, declared righteous, put in right standing with God by and through faith. That's why you find that most times, you in those days before we got born again, I made New Year resolutions over and over. I'll say, God, this New Year, I'm not going to drink again. No more cigarettes, forget. I'll come to church. I'll follow my dad to church on Sunday, on New Year's Eve. They were all pressing crosses before the end of that 1st of January. Except I'm at home, because my dad must not know I smoked in those days. That would have been my end. But the moment I was out, I went straight back. I even doubled what I used to do. All kinds of nonsense. So I was a schoolmaster. So that initially discouraged me from getting born again. I said to myself, it's not possible. These are just Christians. We're wearing scarf around the place. It's not possible. Why would I go for parties? Why would I chase women? Why would I drink? I've tried it. It's not working. So, but you see, that was not the purpose. The purpose was making you realize that there is a problem that I cannot solve by new resolutions. That you must be born again. Praise the Lord. Let's put some scriptures behind it. In the book of 1 John chapter 16, John chapter 1 verse 16. In the Bible says that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You see, God gave a law through Moses, but nobody could keep it at the level that God wanted them to keep it. That's why the Bible says, look, if you sin in one, you have sinned in all. So if you did not commit adultery and you stole, like James says, you are guilty of the law. So Bible says that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. What does grace bring? Grace brings life. I'm talking about the grace of life. Are you following me? Then let's talk about Romans chapter 3. I'll read verse 20, 3:20. Let's just put in Amplified because of time. What does it say? Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Say, by the law is the knowledge of sin. You see, anytime they put a law somewhere, if you watch little children, if they don't go there, before you know it, they're going to go there. Say, by the law came knowledge. Once you put a signpost, okay, nobody must go there. The next thing you find is that somebody will, that thing will just, that law will, that thing has been dormant there. Then just rise up and go and break that law. Yes, we're going to get there, sir. Romans, let's read verse 28 of the same Romans 3. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So all those diverse washings, whatever you do, does not justify you. You can only be justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, which gives you access to the life of God. I cannot take that power of God to do what is right. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles again. Put some scriptures behind this. Romans chapter 7, verse 9. Let's put, if you have New King James Version, I'll have to read through. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 7, verse 9. Let's read together. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. That's a scripture that lets us know, like Pastor has told us, for those that died, babies, and those that have not yet come to the age of accountability, that they have gone to heaven. He said that I was alive once without every person that is born into the world comes in with eternal life in the spirit. He said, but without the law. But when the commandment came, what happened? Sin revived. And I did what? Died. Died there is died spiritually. Next verse. Let's keep reading. Next verse. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Are you following me? I don't want to take time to explain because of time. Next verse. Next verse. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, did what? Deceived me, and by it slew me. Spiritually speaking. Are you following me? Look, he mentioned the word sin. He's not talking about cigarettes, womanizing, and drinking beer. He used our sin nature. It's a noun. Sin is first a noun before it becomes an act. It is the sin in you that makes you a sinner. Are you following me? So let's keep reading. Next verse, please. Wherefore, the law is holy. There's nothing wrong with the law of Moses. Are you following me? And the commandment is holy and just and good. Next verse. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But what? Sin, that it might appear as sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment by become exceedingly sinful. So see, he's not talking about the beer. He's not talking about the cigarettes here. Even though those things are not good. We can't begin to preach to people to stop drinking and smoking. Even the Surgeon General has warned that cigarette smoking is not good for your health. So if they don't believe that, I follow me, they should believe the Surgeon General. But that's not the point. The point is not the cigarettes. I'm not supporting it or whatever bad thing you can mention. But it is the fact that there is the same nature in the spirit, soul, and body of every person that is not born again. And that same nature is what determines what they do. That's why Christianity is not a religion. Next verse. Thank you, Lord. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Next verse. For that which I do, I allow not. Put in the New King James, please. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I am doing, I do not understand. What is sue me? Are you following me? Haven't you said that before? You are today, I'm going to walk in unity. I'm going to walk in love of God. The next moment, you have not even left the house. You've had a quarrel with your wife. Then you say, Oni, I'm very sorry. Please forgive me. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, I do not understand what I will to do. That I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. Say, what I hate, that I do. Next verse. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. So there's nothing wrong with the law of Moses. Next verse. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Say, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. That's sin nature. That's sin nature. That's why you understand that you can be compassionate with people. You will not begin to criticize them. How Jesus Christ did when he saw Peter, James, and John. After he told them to go and wait in the upper room, they went to go and fish. The Bible said, in that same fish they went to catch, they didn't catch anything. Then Jesus Christ now, supernaturally, got one, without any hook, line, and sinker. And before they came back, they had cooked it, there was fire and everything. But look, guys, that is compassion. I follow him because he understood that they had a sin nature, at least at that time, in their soul and body. Praise the Lord. So where are we? We are going to, can we get to 25? Let's keep reading. Let's keep reading. Let's keep reading. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. That how there is very important. It talks about the wisdom of God, which only comes from spiritual fathers. Are you following me? Next verse. For the good that I will do, I do not, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Next verse. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I think we can just leave it there for now because of time. So what are we trying to say? When the law came, the law was a schoolmaster to let us recognize there is a nature in man that would disobey God. So until you get rid of that sin nature, you can never obey God. And if I get rid of that sin nature in your spirit by getting born again, you now have to flush out the residual sin nature in the soul and the body before you can fully obey God and be well pleasing to Him. Praise the Lord. So how then do we keep or do we use the law lawfully? Because if you read in verse 8, it says that, or 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Let's look at that. But for we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. What does that mean? That you can use the law unlawfully. That means you can, that same law, you can use it unlawfully. Now, what does it mean to use the law lawfully and to use it unlawfully? It's very, very simple. I'll put it this way. It is by striving lawfully. You see, let me give you another example so you can understand. You see, you are not made righteous by what you wear. Whether you use makeup or don't use makeup. If you are trying to look righteous, or believe that is what you do, your outward dressing or whatever, that makes you righteous, you are not keeping the law lawfully. If you are trying to say that, okay, I will no longer sit with a woman, like some people do, the men will sit on this side, and the women will sit on that side. They are not striving lawfully. Because you can be sitting here, another person may be sitting here, and there's no distant realm of the spirit, your mind will be on that person sitting there. So if you keep doing that, if outwardly to people, they say, ah, that brother is very, very righteous. He does not even talk to any lady. In fact, that's why, before you know it, that same brother, he now stumbles that he's sitting here and the other lady is sitting there. And what happened? Well, look at the distance. Why? Because he wasn't striving lawfully. So God wants us to strive lawfully. Praise the Lord. So how do we strive lawfully? We thank you, Lord Jesus. It is by operating the law of a spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Let's say it is by operating the law of a spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something that comes to my heart. Do you know that if Jesus Christ did not pray, we would have committed adultery? I don't mean to be irreverent. The Bible says he was tempted in every way like we are, yet without sin. So Satan brought every temptation to steal, to kill, to misbehave to him. I will wake up very early and go to a very quiet place. He will not wake up in the morning and start running helter skelter. Because he understood that even though he does not have a sin nature in his soul and his body, there is sin in the air. The Bible says, a man drinketh iniquity like water. The prince of the power of the air. The devil have pushed him this way, pushed him that way. All those things that happened, the one that washed his feet, they were orchestrated. God allowed the lamp that way. I follow me. But see, God turned it around for his good. So you need to understand that. You can only keep that law by operating love spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Let's have Romans chapter 8 verses 1 and 2. That was the dilemma that Paul was in. A whole apostle. He had written probably at least a quarter of the epistles at this time. And he said something. He said, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. Next verse. For, let's say it together, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death operating in my members. That is the only law that can set you free. When Pastor taught us this thing years ago, he used two examples, the law of gravity and the law of lift. When you begin to understand this and you don't pray, you recognize that you have disobeyed God. I'm not trying to say I pray 100 out of 100 times. No. But you see, there are laws, like the law of gravity and the law of lift. The law of gravity says that whatever goes up, it must come down. So simple. We believe that. You're not going to wake up tomorrow morning and say, I'll go to Cocoa House, that skyscraper in Dubai. I will go to jump down and nothing will happen. I will stay in the air. It's a lie. You are coming down. We all know that law. So nobody's there to disobey it. Right or wrong? So why then do we disobey the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus? If not for the mercy of God, if not for covering, a lot of people are falling flat on their faces. And then also them add unity. So God will not take this. They're not strong. Let them bear the families of you. So the day I'm weak and I cannot pray, covering will, unity will be. That's how you see. For you to enjoy those things, you must walk in the love, in unity. So power can flow and be channeled to you. So, and the law, the other law is the law of lift, which aeroplanes operate, or birds. When birds fly, their wings are tilted at a particular angle. So when they fly, you know, they just, the wind carries them and they stay airborne. But you see, the moment the pilot decides to switch off the engines, initially he may not notice. But after some time, they will make an announcement. I say, guys, fasten your seatbelt. We are about to have a turbulent, whatever. Everybody begins to panic. Why? Because they have stopped operating the law of lift. So what is God telling us this morning? Let us endeavor by His mercy and grace to keep operating the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Always remember when you wake up and the devil says, you are tired, you can't pray today. Just remind yourself, you want to take me to the top of the mountain like you wanted to do with Jesus Christ, so I can jump down from Cocoa House and fall down. So when you remember, say, no, I'm going to obey the law of lift. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? We thank God. We thank God for His mercies. The time that God spoke to me years ago, when times that I say God spoke to me, I'm not doing them perfectly. So you don't think that this guy is a spiritual hot rod. But just when I say them like this, you know, God reminds me, thank you. God spoke, said, it is spiritual laws that govern life. Nothing happens by accident. Different spiritual laws. Your prayer, the prayer of the saints that have gone, different, the God mixes it together. You know, but what will make it work for you is what you contribute and then your heart. Are you following me? So how do you operate it? Again, I'm making it clearer. I think the pastor has taught us. We do it by using the blood, the word, and the spirit to keep moral law, which is love. And then we now have a revelation knowledge, understanding of ceremonial law. Why was given? You know, we're talking about the law of Moses. Ceremonial law. We're talking about moral law and then spiritual law. I said that, look, use spiritual law to keep moral law. Ceremonial law has been done away with. I follow me. So when you now operate that law, you use the blood, the word, and the spirit to keep that law. That's how it operates. You clean by the blood, you load by the word, and then you fire by the spirit. That like pastor teaches us every Tuesday here. When you now use that, you can now keep moral law, which is the law of love in summary. Then when I keep that law of love, you can now see the reason why God gave the ceremonial law. You now understand why. So you're not going to camp around ceremonial law. Let me give you an example. The Old Testament, the Bible says that just as God said that all your male children must appear before me 3 times in a year. Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. That is burdensome. You see, if you take that scripture now and say, okay, I want to obey God's commandment, you'll be going there every year and spending money. God help you that you don't go and land in where they're always fighting, they're always killing themselves. What was God trying to tell us? If you now look at it through the eyes of love, you now understand that what God was saying was not literally, even though they kept that at that time, he was trying to tell them, look, every born again Christian must get, every Christian or everybody must get born again, Passover, be baptized in the Holy Spirit, Pentecost, and then finally fulfill the feast of Tabernacles, which we are in. So you cannot see clearly. You see, I don't want to give different examples. There are many examples in scriptures. When you read some of them, God says something. He said, no man must dress like a woman. You will take that scripture and say, you cannot wear a trouser. But at the back of God's mind, in that there will come a time that have those that I call transvestites, homosexuals. That's what God was thinking about. So when you now say, okay, you can't wear trousers, then what are you going to do with those that the Scots that were killed or whatever? But see, you need to understand the reason why God said those things. But you can only understand it when you keep the law of the life of Christ Jesus to keep moral law, which is love. They cannot understand the mind of God, who is love. Praise the Lord. Let's continue. There's no time to mention circumcision. You know, that was the real wahala that Paul had with this people, the real problem. I see, if you don't keep, this circumcision something, you are not a Christian. You have to go back and keep circumcision. And the Bible says, yes, you must be circumcised on the 8th day. If you circumcise before the 8th day, the Bible says, God said, is that you will die. Now, Papa Ralph pointed out years ago, he said that now doctors have come to understand that if you should circumcise a child, maybe the 2nd or 3rd day, the child will bleed to death. Why? Because the vitamin K, am I right, Dr. Williams, has not been fully formed.
For children, God is not a fool. Most of you that read things in the Bible and you think that what is God saying? He's not a fool. You are better just obey. Later you understand what he's trying to say. You know what doctors now, like Papa Ralph said, they cannot inject that baby with vitamin K. So they can do the circumcision the second day, the third day. But see, God could not explain to Moses. He could not. What does he know that is vitamin K? So just trust and obey. Period. So God is, Bob said, the immortal, the invisible, the only wise God. Just believe God that if he has said it, then if I don't understand it, there's something behind it, and he is love and he loves me, and that is it. Period. Praise the Lord. So how do we strive lawfully? Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. You can put it on the board. Just as I was speaking to the Pharisees of those days, he said that you omit the weightier matters of the law and you keep, which is judgment, mercy, and faith. But they kept doing all the ceremonial law, tithes and offerings, which is not wrong. He said, but you should have done, let's go, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted, either by doing or not, are you following me? The weightier matters of the law, which is judgment, mercy, and faith. This ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. Let me summarize that. When you judge yourself, that's that you do it that confesses and forsakes shall obtain mercy. So that first stage is you judge yourself. Lord, I'm wrong, I'm guilty. Then mercy will flow. That mercy will now bring life. That life is now what you now use to operate the law of life in Christ Jesus. Bible talks about the work of faith with power. So it is judgment first, not condemn. Judgment is discerning between right and wrong. Okay, Lord, I'm sorry. Oh. I looked at that person lustfully. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I didn't look at anybody lustfully. I'm giving an example. Everybody just went quiet. when I'm preaching, I don't see anybody. Be honestly. If I thought I see anybody, it's my wife sitting there. So what are we saying? Judgment. Say judgment. So I examine myself in any area. It could be I overate yesterday. Ah, Lord, I'm sorry. So what will happen when I examine myself? He that confesses and forsakes shall obtain mercy. So God will now release mercy from outside. That mercy now, Bible talks about the mercy, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. It is an absence of life that made me do what I did. That life now, when I now receive it in sufficient measure, and I begin to pray, that Bible talks about in this book of testimonies, the work of faith with power. Faith does not only work by confession, it must be backed with power. That is why Jesus Christ told Peter, he said, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. That means if you don't pray, your faith will fail. That is logical. So if you are facing a challenge and you are beginning to stumble, go back to pray. If Jesus Christ had not prayed at Gethsemane, his faith would have failed. So he said, Peter, I have prayed for you. Understand this fact. Peter, you have been making a confession since morning. That Lord, I will not deny you. Lord, I will not deny you. Even if, listen, it is not about your confession, Peter. You have not prayed. When I said, watch and pray with me. So no condemnation. So what was he saying? Peter, it is good to make those confessions, but you need to back it up with prayer, or else your faith will fail. But under covering, he prayed for him. And I said, look, you have to learn a lesson, though. You will go through this, though, but I will bring you out. You see, that was not the first time that Peter would not pray. On the Mount of Transfiguration, he slept. So God covered him. So there came a time, he said, no, Peter, this time around, Satan, not anymore. Satan, I desire to sift you. So I will allow him to sift you. What I will just do is this. It will take away all the chaff from you. So we now come out better. Strengthen your brethren. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So what are we saying? Let's talk about the Bible. We're talking about striving lawfully now. We need to strive lawfully. Very important. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Lord Jesus, please help me. We need to move. 2 Timothy 2, chapter 5. Talking about striving lawfully. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. If you don't strive lawfully, you are not going to be crowned. Again, it's not talking about a physical crown. If you look at the book of Psalms, chapter Psalms 8, it says that, oh Lord my God, says, thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. The crown we are expecting now is not a physical crown, it's not a corruptible crown. It's the crown of the spirit, that measure, that glory that Adam lost in the Garden of Eden. Perhaps if you don't strive lawfully and you are trying to keep this, you will not be crowned. still can't know. You don't have no why two thoughts be cut off. Because they are not striving lawfully. And it's not their fault. It's because of these so-called teachers that Paul was warning Timothy about. They have not taught the people of God how to strive lawfully. So you see people come to church every day. They believe that, okay, they look at this. What this one is wearing? Please, I'm not against. We need to dress well. People can take this same message now and wear ridiculous things to church tomorrow. Please don't do it. That's wrong. Don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is that, look, you cannot base your right standing or acceptance with God with what to wear, what to eat, you know, don't eat pork, and all that nonsense. You're not striving lawfully. There's no power. You're doing it by the works of the flesh. Arm of flesh will fail. Let's open our Bible to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Lord Jesus, please assist me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes, thank you. And if a man also strive, know ye not, let's begin, know ye not, that they which run in a race, run all. Both are born again. All people are born again. Whichever church they go, they are all running. In a race, one or but one receiveth the prize. So, run that you may obtain. Link that back to the crown that we're talking about. Next verse. Next verse. What happened? Next verse. 9:25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. Next verse, please. Are you following me? Let's follow the Holy Spirit. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. You see, some people, when you see them praying, just to see alongside, maybe they are groaning. Instead of them to concentrate, you know, some people to beat the air. Even though we are fighting with the priest of the power of the air, it's not this one that you can't punch the devil. Father will say, concentrate, focus, think on the word of God. It's a spiritual battle, it's not a physical battle. It's not the jumping about like a windmill, rolling over the place that gets the job done. You have to concentrate. God says, travel. You stiffen your stomach muscles and then you push. It's that simple. It's not the one up and down. It's not the, I don't know, some people. You're not matching the devil. It's a spirit. We are laughing now, but I'm trying to say, so when the next time you come to pray, you actually concentrate that you are fighting a spirit being. Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. Therefore, put on the old armor of God. God is love. You can't go and write, make a dress and put love all over it and then put it on. It sounds stupid, but that's what some of us do by the things we do. Next verse, please, Holy Spirit. Let's just move on. It is well. Go back to 1 Corinthians 9, I think we're 25. 27, but I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. After you've spoken to people, it loves your life, because now send me for loves now and then. And then you don't use that same law to keep that body. Once you keep it under, it's not the physical body, it's the same nature under. So it will not rear up his head. You keep it on in the morning. You keep on walking in the spirit. So keep it down. You keep it down. You want to rear up his head again. Somebody abuses you in the bus. You want to speak that. Just brings you back. Keep it down. No. You're not. Satan. Keep quiet. I'm not going to talk today. Are you following what I'm trying to say? So that is how we strive lawfully. Praise the Lord. Now let's read verses 9 and 10. Let's see how God will help us. I hope I still have time. Okay. What does he say? Knowing this, that is law. The law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, let's together, for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, next verse please, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, homosexuals. We need to let them know, we're not condemning anybody, but it's in the scriptures, it is there. It would be evil for me to keep quiet because of I don't want to be politically correct at all. It time I finish the church, I go back to God and I ask him, after talking to Pastor God, did I say what you wanted me to say? Because I will answer to God one day. Let's keep reading. And if there be any other thing, that is, there are many other things that is contrary to sound doctrine. So any church you go to and they permit this nonsense, they are not preaching sound doctrine. It's that simple. If you turn on your TV and they're saying it doesn't matter that you can marry two men, and then you sit there with your big head, or you are watching that nonsense, God forgive me. I'm sorry, Lord, Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. You see, it is not sound doctrine. And it will ultimately make them lose their inheritance. Paul says it is not sound doctrine. It stems from doctrines of devils. And that is what is happening today. We're living in a permissive society. Christians cohabit. Yes. And they come to church. Pentecostal churches. And the pastor keeps quiet. Why? Maybe because it's his son. Or maybe because he gives his tithes and offerings. Bible says, damn that thing. Rebuke. Publicly. We're coming to that time that the fear of the Lord will come back to the church. So what are we saying? Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me, Ejo. Are you following me? So what are we saying? He says that the law is not made for righteous man. I'm going to round up now. Who is a righteous man? It's someone that is born again. Say, who is a righteous man? Say, it is someone that is born again. I'll give a very simple illustration that Kenneth Hagin gave one of his books. He said in his church, he was trying to teach them the difference between right standing and right doing. When you understand that, it will set you free. I will ask you a question, my brother, in this black jacket. Are you a man? Eh? You should ask, are you a man? Are you a woman? How come you're a man? I'm not talking about, listen, when he asked that person, the person hesitated. And I said, you are a man because you are born as a man. So simple. So don't try to become a woman. You see, you are born righteous. When you got born again, you are born righteous. It had nothing to do with what you did or what you will ever do. It is all by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, as you begin to round up. You need to understand, when you understand it. I don't wake up in the morning and think I'm a woman. I don't. I was born a man. The day they gave birth to me, said, my mom said, I have given birth to a man child. Period. So when you think that is how you obtain your right standing. It's not by what you do. You are born righteous. Just like you are born a man, and otherwise the woman was born a woman. Praise the Lord. So 2 Corinthians 5 says that, for he hath made him to be sin, for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Say, I am righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. So you have access by faith into God's presence. These are things that are foundational. But you find that when people make mistakes, they still wallow in unbelief and God. Instead of saying, Father, I confess my sins and move on. I said, I can't pray again. What I did was so bad. I can't pray again. Why? You are righteous once you confess your sins. And then you, like Pastor said, you maintain that state of righteousness by confessing your sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9. It says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all, without exception, all righteous unrighteousness. So when you are cleansed from all unrighteousness, you are righteous. So that's why Pastor said that every time you pray, Father, I confess our sins. So by adventure, if you commit sins of omission or commission in your thoughts, Father, I confess my sins, you are made righteous. So when the enemy comes and looks at you, this guy is a righteous guy, I can't touch him. Do you understand why we confess our sins? It is not a religion. So that I can maintain that right standing that I got through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now let me stop by the grace of God. So, any teaching that said, okay, I mentioned that it's not sound doctrine. So, verse 11, I'll just introduce us and then we'll stop and my time is gone. What does it say in verse 11? Verse 11 of 1 Timothy says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. I'm going to stop here today. We'll pick up tomorrow. I don't have time. I just mentioning. God trusted Paul. And he committed the glorious gospel to him. Paul trusted Timothy. And he committed that same gospel, glorious gospel to him. Timothy also was told to look for faithful men that he can commit the same thing to. So as you are hearing this glorious, I'm not talking about the message of getting born again. The glorious gospel that will restore back the glory that Adam lost to man. We're not talking about getting born again here. That is part of it. It includes it. So he said, let's see, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. We're going to stop here today. I believe God is looking. We'll pick it up there. There's so much in there. God is looking for faithful men and women that he can commit this gospel through to. Not get born again. No. That is part of it. That's 30-fold. That gospel that restores the glory back to man. That is why Paul said, he said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And the excellence of the power will not be of us, but of God. He said, we are troubled on every side. Yet without deserve. That's why you can see the trouble. Because of that treasure, that glorious gospel. God told him, he said, go and tell Paul that he's going to suffer many things. Sorry, for the gospel's sake. At the beginning of his ministry. So we have a choice here, folks. Either for us to suffer for the gospel's sake, when God commits that gospel to us, there's a suffering to bear. But I'd rather do that than to suffer loss. There's a choice for us. So God is looking for faithful men and women that will commit this glorious gospel to. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Let's speak to the Lord in our hearts. God is looking for faithful men and women that will commit that gospel to. Already in this house, God has committed to the fathers of the house. They have committed it to us. So you can't say you are ignorant. If you say, everybody will understand what this book can. We can speak perfection easily. We can say it. We can quote the scriptures. It's a very rare privilege. Even though there is trouble on every side. I would say, yes, we are cast down, but we're not destroyed. It's because of that treasure in earthen vessels, and the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Father. All I want, heaven built my life upon all this world. Things and what you are. All I want to gain, I have counted lost. Strength and worthless now compared to you. faith, let now respond to the word that has been taught. Put one hand on your heart and raise the other to heaven. Let's pray together in faith, saying, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that I've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank you because by that same blood, I maintain daily my right standing with God, that gives me access to your life to do right. I also thank you for showing me that you want to commit this glorious gospel to me, that I also may commit it to all those under the sphere of my influence. I thank you that we may all inherit your glory. I come to receive your grace. I come to ask for mercy, for it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. Help me to be faithful to this commission in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you. Glory you, Lord, glory you.
You are my all.